Hashem. All right, so the last thing we talked about were the two Anhagas called Anhagas HaMishpat and Anhagas HaYichud. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is Mashkiach and the Olam in two ways, two totally separate ways, simultaneously at the same time. So if you think you could understand that, you can't. You can't understand that. Anhagas HaYichud and Anhagas HaMishpat. Anhagas HaMishpat is that the affairs of the world are governed, or at least they're affected by our actions. The Kaddish Baruch Hu wants that. And he kiviyachol subjugates himself to that, even though he doesn't have to, but he wants to. And the world is run according to our mission. At the same time, something called Anhagas HaYichud, that Hashem does exactly what he wants, and there's nothing that interferes or limits him in any way. And Hashem does that at the same time. So, you know, these two Anhagas, I guess we could have some kind of concept of what they are, but to have them both at the same time is sort of difficult. At the same time, you have a Kaddish Baruch Hu running the world according to our Bechiras Namaisim. At the same time, you have a Kaddish Baruch Hu running the world without any limitations or without, you know, without any harnessing, without any rules, whatever Hashem wants. My son is getting married. Great. Okay, that was the last time. Mimasha talks to Tedoid. Kehine Gamash Baasso, Yitichari Kishnei Minim. Kaddish Baruch Hu, he pours forth, Ashpah, he pours forth. He grants existence, he grants life, and that's divided into two things. Rakhid Ramash and the Guf, things that pertain to the body, Vashem Ramash and the Nefesh, things that pertain to the soul. Ramash and the Guf, Hashem gives us in this world what the Guf needs in order to succeed in this world. Now we discussed this, we gave this as a mashal, it's like an expense account to a traveling salesman. So the salesman has certain needs in order to get his job done, so the company has to provide for it. So Kaddish Baruch Hu provides for a goof. Because the goof has needs. And if Hashem created the goof and Hashem wants the goof to survive, then Hashem provides for the goof itself. It's sort of pointless to create a goof and not provide for the needs of the goof that's created. So Hashem creates the goof, Hashem creates the environment for the goof. Because I use the lashon, man de yev kaye, yev mezayni. The one that provides life provides food. Because if Hashem brings something to life, then he's going to create or supply the thing which perpetuates life. And that's kashmir's. And there's a lot in there. Lamashon Hashem, Kaddish Baruch Hu pours forth what the neshama needs. Lamashon da'askala v'yediya. It's something which has, it's the power of understanding, the power of knowledge. The kiyum is Adam Avi's box of mind. And it's enabling a person to get close to Kaddish Baruch Hu's mind. The kara malasa and ashes. It has nothing to do with physical. Now, Kaddish Baruch Hu allows us to get close to him. It has nothing to do with food. And getting close to him has nothing to do with our tzlach in this world. Now, Kaddish Baruch Hu allows us to penetrate his thoughts. And there's no greater simcha for the neshama than being able to understand a Kaddish Baruch Hu's chachma, wisdom that's pouring forth. So Hashem pours forth, there's two things, that, there's two entities that pour forth from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's the tools that we need to complete our task in Adam HaZem and be comfortable doing so. And then the Chachma, the Kaddish Baruch Hu imparts to us and he allows us to get close to him. And that's the Simcha of the Nefesh. What is the quintessential Olam HaZeh? What is the best we can hope for in this world? What is the ultimate in this world? If you had to paint a perfect world? And the Derech Hashem's definition is not the same as every single person sitting in this room. What's a perfect world? to find happiness.
Closeness with a cutter's Bible.
That's what you personally define as happiness?
Can a perfect world be made of imperfect things?
Could start out that way. The definition of a perfect world is a world that starts out imperfect, it has potential to be perfect, and we come along and perfect it. Yeah, but a world that's created perfect is not a perfect world. Because there's no point. And suddenly there's no point to it that's not perfect.
But wasn't the world created perfect?
No.
What was wrong when God created the world? What was imperfect about it?
A man had a choice to
make it perfect or not.
Man had a choice either to make it perfect.
But it was perfect, wasn't it? What was not perfect about it? That's what I'm asking.
Man had a choice. And the man has a choice to choose evil when the world isn't perfect.
Then there's no such thing as a perfect world.
No, if Adam and Eve would have chosen not to choose, but if he would have chosen not to choose, he would have perfected the world.
But then there's no point anymore.
God made it so easy. No, but I have why he did
it. Adam and Eve's choice was the hardest choice that anyone in the world has ever had to face. He was so convinced he was doing the right thing. He was choosing to choose. He was choosing that the world would be a world where all the people that were born from him and all his descendants would have to choose. He knew that if he chose the other way, the other route, there'd be no more choice anymore.
So if there's no more choice, then there's no point. And
God, you are right that's what God wanted. God wanted Adam to choose to give up his Bechira. But Adam misunderstood God. He didn't understand that. God gave him a Bechira. God gave it to him for a reason. And he's supposed to hold on to it. And he knew that if he wouldn't eat from the Etzadas, he wouldn't eat from the fig, he would never have to choose again. So he rationalized. If God gave him a Bechira, he's supposed to keep it and hold it and not give it back. Bechira is a present. Bechira is a gift from God. It's granted by God. And if he has it, he's supposed to keep it. So he chose to keep it.
Run, because you don't have peace.
Wait, that was his logic in doing it. I heard a different answer.
What did you hear?
I heard the reason was that Adam wanted to up his reward by saying, if I eat whatever the thing is now, big like that, then the Yetzer Hara will be in me. And every time that I fight him, I'll
so what you're saying is just another form of what I said.
Of what?
I said that by doing something evil, by doing something wrong, he's giving himself choice. Or he's retaining his choice. Because the only way to choose against God is to have the Yetzer Hara inside of you. It's impossible to choose against God without the Yetzer Hara inside of you. So by choosing...
He didn't have the Yetzer Hara inside him and he was able to choose.
Right, but he chose to bring it into him.
So had he not brought it into
him, he would have had
choice. No, after that choice, it would have been done.
That would have been done.
Because
the only Yetzer Hara there was at the time was the Yetzer on the outside. If he would have chosen not to listen to him, he would have been eliminated. I think it was 1954. I think it was 1954, that's what I think.
Alright, what's the point in the world without any Bechira?
There's no point in the world without any Bechira, but a world that you get the reward for making the right choices is a point. That means Hashem gave him one choice, so then he'd go straight to Adam Abba. He'd get a reward for what he earned.
And his kids will get reward because of that decision.
Yes.
So just one decision made.
Right. Yeah, the truth is, like, when it comes down to what difference does it make how many decisions? God created the world for a reason. That man should earn their reward because God is a God of judgment, mishpat,
but it's much or justice.
What's the difference if it's one big decision? Well, the difficulty that Adam had with this one big decision, if he would have chosen right, the difficulty that he would have had in making that decision equals all the difficulty of all the decisions throughout all the generations combined. So you have a problem if he did it in one instant? Like, what's wrong with that? I mean, it's the same thing. Well, of all decisions, you take every decision of every single person in the entire world, from the time of Adam Arishan until the very end, does not equal the difficulty of his decision.
But he knew the right, isn't that the difference?
He thought he was right in choosing wrong, that's the thing. He thought he was convinced that he was right in choosing wrong.
He didn't know the right answer?
Correct.
I thought he knew the right choice, but then he was like, hold on, this is right, but I can make it even better.
No, he thought that he chose what God wanted him to choose.
What was the background? What did God tell us? Like, in detail. Did God tell him, listen, you have to perfect the
See,
word?
That's the problem. The problem is he told him not to eat it. That's the bottom line. I mean, rationalization, he was right. The person that internalizes evil and overcomes it is much greater. So becoming someone that evil's on the inside and then overcoming it is much greater. So he was right. But God said no. All the bigger voices are like that. The Katahigo, we have no idea what the calculations were. I mean, the Ramban tells us that Hishmet Echad Mitachamurin, that they were breaking off one of the legs of the four-faced Maisa Makava. Do you understand what that means? Whatever it is, they were pretty convinced it was the right thing to do to worship Diego. And whatever it is, they were convinced that Hashem wanted them to worship Diego. And they thought that they connected to God through the Maisa Makava. And they said, Chag L'Hashem Macha, they're going to make a festival for Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, tomorrow. So they were convinced that they were doing God's will. And they were right. According to a certain line of reasoning, they were right. But God said, don't do it. And Rehei Zav, Rehei Masek, and Sasnacha. God said, don't do it. They were right, but they were wrong. They didn't know why they were wrong, but they were wrong. And then Marisha was right, but he was wrong. Because God said no. You want to rationalize? He was right. Logically, he was right. God said no.
God created a world that we would have Bechira to earn the reward.
God created a world that we have Bechira whether to live in this world as people that are constantly in a state of Bechira or not. Adam Rishon did not have Bechira the way we have Bechira. You ever heard of an interview where a rabbi comes to the school and interviews in high school and he asks you, no? Yeah, he said, do you want to learn? And what do you say? You say, Rabbi, to be totally honest with you, I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn. But I don't learn. Maybe you could, I get decent grades on my tests sometimes, but I don't enjoy it. It's school. I don't want to learn, but I want to learn alone. Adam Arishan did not have Bechira. He had a Bechira to become someone who has Bechira. So that's why the word wasn't, you know. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect.
He created
Adam. Adam was the wisest man of all time. If you're the wisest man of all time, how could you choose?
He's a passion.
So passionate.
So how could it explode? That's what I don't get it.
Because the Eitz HaDaas, he had a choice, but even from the Eitz HaDaas, then he would have Bechira.
I'm not talking in reality.
So he chose to have Bechira. He embraced Bechira. Is there ever a moment in the day that you're not making choices? I've never found him. I'm always making choices. That's a direct product of Adam Arishon. He chose the Mishmi Baruchim. Hashem created a Nachash. The Nachash was uniquely suited to say the exact words to convince Adam Arishon that it's Hashem's will to become a Babakir, to become a master of choice. And Hashem put a weakness in Adam Arishon, that when he hears those words, he's going to have a test.
On the spot, no.
And this is one test. When he hears those words, will he succumb to those words or not? And that is the only thing missing from evolution. Otherwise, he was perfect. You ever heard of the rap window theory? You ever heard of the rap window theory? You ever heard of it? The kid throws a rock at the window and then the window smashed. Why did the window smash? Is it because of the rock or because of the window? It's both. The rock has to be hard enough and heavy enough and dense enough and thrown at enough force and speed to break the window. But the window also has to have the properties that it can be broken by a rock that's thrown with such a force. Otherwise, it won't break. If you have bulletproof glass, then you should have bulletproof it. Then it's very strong, powerful. It's not going to break the glass, because the glass does not have in it to be broken by the bullet. The Nachash was the bullet. The Nachash was the rock. Adam HaRishon is the window. Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. He had no flaws. But there was a flaw. That he could be broken by the Nachash. Hashem created the Nachash that he has no force whatsoever. He has one power. To get through to Adam HaRishon, only in this area.
But it doesn't make sense. What was the point of all this? What's his name? Derech Hashem, right at the beginning, he says that God created man so that he would have choice, and otherwise it would just be
one choice.
Robots.
One choice.
One choice.
That's it.
God created man to have one choice
that's
to it. Pass
that's
and never earn.
That's enough.
So then what was Adam contemplating? I don't get what was going through his head.
Well, I guess you'd sort of have to be Adam HaRishon in order to know what was going through Adam's head. You have a question? Okay.
I think it was just as much as a snake, the test of the snake also, no?
And the snake performed admirably.
Snake
performed. Punished for doing.
Anytime punishment has to be understood. Punishment has to be understood. In the perspective, he did what he was supposed to do.
Who the snake?
Anytime we have malachim or creatures that don't have bechira that are punished, they're never punished for their own sake. They're punished for our benefit. We have to see. We have to see what happens to a creature that is the cause of some of the sin. If a person commits sodomy with an animal, so the person is Kaya Misa and the animal is Kaya Misa. What did the animal do? The animal has the cure? Because we have to see what happens to a creature of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that was the cause, even if it wasn't the catalyst. But it was there, and if it wasn't there, it never would have happened for someone to do against Ratzon Hashem. That's a key to understanding all times you see Malachim getting punished. Gavriel. Hashem gave Gavriel coals to set at the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash, and to light it up on fire, they should be consumed. And Gavriel knew that if he sets those coals, the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash is going to burn so hot that not only will it destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to destroy the Jewish people. It was that hot. So he waited. He didn't do it immediately. He didn't do it right away. He waited. And when you wait, you glow cold. They cooled out. I mean, it was still hot, but they cooled out. And they set them at the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, burned down, but not the Jewish people. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu punished Gavriel. He gave him Malchus for waiting. And I ask you, do you think Gavriel loves the Jewish people more than the Kodesh Baruch Hu does? Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy all the Jewish people. And Gavriel said, I can't do it. Gavriel. What's Gavriel's midah? Midah's Hadin, by the way. Gavriel, I can't do it. I can't. God wants to destroy the Jewish people. God, I can't do it. I can't. I've got to hold on. Whatever happens to me, I'm making punishment, but I'm going to save the Jewish people. Do you actually think that that's what happened? And then Hashem, bam, Gavriel. Wham, whack. Bend over, bam, Gavriel.
But I knew that he was banking.
OK. okay? You know, you can't understand it that way. Yeah. So, we started by asking, define happiness. The gift defines happiness one way, the neshama defines happiness another way. A matzah rotation animals, what's the best item has it? She b'riyadim dveikim l'chachva. That we should have a very strong attachment to wisdom. In Olam Hazeh. In Olam Haba, you have no choice. In Olam Hazeh, you have Bechira. You could choose to have a very strong relationship to wisdom. Or you could choose not to. You could choose the other way. People choose to be stupid. Excuse me for using the word stupid. But they choose to be stupid.
Ignorance is bliss.
Well, I had a ninth grade history teacher, his name was Mr. Bliss. And when I wanted to get him angry, I used to get myself in a lot of trouble with my mouth in school. I used to say, people say that ignorance is bliss. But I say bliss is ignorant. But I used to get my brothers boiling. That your involvement should be in what God wants you to do. That's what your involvement in. Yeah, I must go to your borough. And things should be clear. We shouldn't be living in the murky depths. It should be clear. You are a Russian native nichma. If somebody is in Russia, you know, a rock star going down the street, he spends his entire days with Gila Rai's Avodazar and Shikha's Dhamma. And then you have the thing under the sun. And it's embarrassing. But if you would be somewhere, you should lie on me a Kaddish, and you would see one of these stars, I don't even want to say the name of the base of Kaddish. You would see hundreds of people trying to touch them and say something to them, get the autograph, rip a little piece of their clothing, get the dirt under their feet, Even religious people might do it. It's to our shame. That's not a perfect world. A perfect world is Russia, Nida, Vinitna, anything that's improper, any person, human, that does anything improper, Russia, but it should have to hide his face and shame, wouldn't be able to show his face in public. That's a good matzah in this world. That's a good matzah. That's a good matzo. A steroid using baseball player? That's a role model? That's a role model? You idolize such a thing? Remember, in my days, there were two pitchers for the Yankees. Fritz Peterson and Frank Kekich. 1967. You know what they decided to do? Two pitchers of the Yankees. They decided to involve themselves in this tunnel practice.
They don't
want
to swap
lives? Yes, life swapping. Fritz Peterson moved into the Kekich house. Frank Kekich moved into the Peterson house. And it didn't stop people from going to the games. And from collecting their cards. And collecting cards. And the pictures. Analyzing them. Baseball is baseball. That's not an ideal world. How'd you know that?
I heard about it. I don't remember.
See, the tumult resounded throughout the generation. They should hide their faces in shame. They should dig a hole and bury themselves. When they come out, someone should take a baseball bat and hit them on top of the head. You're Russian, neither the Nikma. That time is Muslim. You rip somebody off? There's no place for you in the world. It's your mental way to be able to build the enemies, Mark Shamari. Anything. All efforts. All devils. One direction. What God wants. Call me this a Tavis, Tim Tavis, sit behind her. Me this Tavis. Character refinement. Ethics. That's something. We live in such a topsy-turvy world. They're guys. They're going on a date with a girl. Yes, religious guys are religious girls. And they have a girl that she's refined, dark arts, amidos, samura, sweet. And I'll dump her. Why? Because the girl's exciting, sarcastic, willing to take risks. You know? So she talks behind other people's backs. It's hilarious. Until you get married to her and then the sarcasm is directed at you. Because sweet, nice, meet is, that's boring. This girl's excited. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Perfect word. Me just tongue is Timson of Sigbana. Powerful. Me just tongue is a powerful. Who's the unpopular kid in the school? The nerdy kid that never does anything wrong. He's unpopular. Who's the popular one?
Breaks all the rules.
To fact, me does a rise with Timasna. Disgusting. The nuggets are turned by Sean by Hashkate. Peace, tranquility. Well, empty, you saw my claim in the Zakims. No more pain, no more war. We are Edinburgh, who master claim to Bagaya Elamai. What's respect? God is respect. We have respect for God. What did I just say? He's very painful. It's very painful. Okay, the only one on the buses, they have these campaigns that Christian missionaries put ads on the buses and the trails. These big things, you know, when you look up, you know, these rectangular ads that they run from the front to the end of the train. So there's an atheist group. Yeah, they took that space on the subways in New York. Something like, based on the last survey, there's 1 million people that ride these trains that don't believe in God. Are you one of them? Something like that. I don't remember the discussion. But they're advertising for atheism. They're advertising for atheism because, you know, the religious right, they advertise to try and get people to embrace their cause. So this is a counter, this is a counter move. They're advertising for atheism. Is there a bigger slap on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's face than that, than to publicly advertise for atheism?
That just shows how weak it is that it needs advertising.
That just shows how little respect we have for God. Even if somebody's a Russian, but a Russian could also have respect for God. He has a timer, he can't control himself. So he goes off somewhere and does something wrong. He's going to get to pay for it. But he has respect for God. He can't control himself. What's he supposed to do?
Can we use Esav as an example? How did he have respect for God?
Well, Esav is very complex. You want to talk about Esav. You know, he felt he deserved what he had for what he did. So you go figure that one out. But yeah, he had tremendous respect for God.
He had respect?
The thing is, the Torah points out the worst thing he did was that he shamed the right of the firstborn. But Esav is a Bechor. He was the firstborn. That means that he's like the Kohen. In those days, the firstborn was the Kohen. He was hungry. He was dying. And Yaakov Avinu was cooking red lentils. And Esav said to Yaakov, I'm going to die. Give me some of these red lentils. And Yaakov said, there's a price. You're the Kohen. You're the firstborn. I want to be the Kohen. If I'm the Kohen, you get lentils. You're the Kohen? Eat that. You're getting the lentils. Esav sold it for lentils. The Torah says, Vayivaz Esav is a Bechor. So you're right, Esav's Aveira is not proper covered for the Avodas Hashem. But still, it's not that simple. He had a lot of covered for Hashem. Kibbut Aveir. That's his mitzvah. He had covered. He had covered. He had standards. He had respect. He had standards. He had respect. He wasn't a total degenerate. Chum, Knan, we're in Parshas Noach now. We didn't get the Parshas Torah. They have been standards. They're degenerates. Esav has standards. One of Esav's three wives was a tzaddikus. So he was complex. He wasn't totally consistent. But he had standards. Isa was a murderer. Who did he murder? You know, do you know the names of any of his victims? I only know the name of one of his victims. Nimrod. He should get a medal for murdering him. You call him a reporter because he murdered Nimrod. He should get a medal. I would pin a medal to his chest for killing Nimrod. He eliminated the arch enemy number one. He's not so easy to understand, is he?
The problem going off the deck and back on.
He tried to kill Yaakov. That's not so nice. If he would have stopped with Nimrod, he would have been fine. We tried to kill Yaakov.
But I'm sure he had right reasons.
To him? Yeah, he justified it. So the world is a world that the covenant of a Kaddish Baruch is in the trash can.
Right now.
They had a movie. I've been Shatan in Moscow. I didn't see the movie, but I know about it. But it was a long time ago. So I can, you know, perhaps you could... Oh, it's a sad excuse, but it was a long time ago and I didn't see it, and I heard about it. It was by George Burns. George Burns, he's a funny guy. He's still alive, I think. If You Were God, something like that. George Burns played God.
It's a good movie.
Oh, yeah? Were you a comedian playing God? Making things blow up when he wants? Coming down and talking to this guy?
Is that the one where you work in the supermarket?
Reminds me of Bruce Almighty.
Is that right? Is that COVID? Is that COVID? He can take a... First of all, take a human being. A comedian. He's got good timing and good lines and sense of humor. Is that COVID for God? You have a comedian? And maybe now you're finally trying to understand it. But until now, you probably thought it was a good movie, right? We have what's going on, so we are so affected by our culture that we don't even understand what it means that there's no covenant for God. You can take a movie and you can make him be played by George Burns. He's Jewish. Does that make it any better? So he's Jewish. He was a Jewish comedian.
That makes it a
bigger player. Oh, Hashem. B'yi Adam Baruch Hu Mashu Kvayde B'Gali B'Olama Yekadosh Baruch Hu Chit. We should be immersed in God's covenant with Samecha Maisach, and He should be happy with us. Because we're His children. When Maisach Samecha Maisach is the father, we should be happy that He's our father. The Hefech Hazeh, what's our world? This is utopia. Utopia is that all the things that we should strive for, those should be goals and ideals and held up high. It doesn't have to be perfect, but at least we know what we're striving for. This is an ideal. This is an ideal. Bamidus, Yerushalayim, embrace Chochma. That's the ideal. Now go for it. But to live in a world that the pursuit of happiness, you know, that's guaranteed in the Constitution. The pursuit of happiness is the pursuit of everything that anybody, any disgusting person ever wants. It's very hard to live in such a world. It's very hard to live in such a world. It's hard enough to choose the right thing. It's more difficult when you don't even know what the right thing is. We are fazunkin. You know what fazunkin means? That means stuck like in a quagmire. Sunk in taiva. That means a quicksand. That means it's got a hold of us, we can't get free. You know what the nature of quicksand is?
Whenever you try to...
The more you struggle, the more it pulls you in.
How do you get out of it? What's the trick?
Somebody else has to get you out. But if there is someone else, I guess it's a little bit of practical advice. If there is someone else, then stay still. And they should get a hold of a long branch, you know. But if you struggle, it goes quicker. Why is that?
There isn't someone else.
Pray.
You look like you're in a rush, but
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are fazunkin. Fazunkin means suck in the quagmire, the quicksand, the taiva. You know, like in the black public school system, any black kid that studies and gets good grades and does the homework, you know what they call them? Whitey. They call them whitey. Because to be a success in that system means that you're doing it the way the white people are doing. And I'm getting this from a black person. I read this in an article. You know, I'm not meant as a racist comment. There are a lot of tremendous strides being made by people of all colors. But there's a culture. There is a culture, and it's there. That if you succeed and you embrace education is a way out. So you're being better. You know, you're stepping on everyone else and all your soul brothers. You're being better than them. Don't embrace wisdom. Fail. Strive to fail. Ma'asim b'chokma, but we do it also. That's the problem. We do it also. Ma'asim b'chokma. We live in a society that wisdom is not to be embraced. It's to be treated with disgust. We're very far from it. We put them avoda to learn things by hard work. Him ma'ata kulum, very little or nothing. Work, work is a four-letter dirty word. You heard that? Work is a four-letter dirty word. I mean, I'm giving you a lot of examples, but I saw in Reader's Digest that they calculate the amount of calories burned by pressing the buttons on the remote. I said, that is sick. We've really, that's called Eureka's and Doris, that they start including that because people are not doing any exercise. So they put their own in the calculation. I think that's really distorted. Maybe they meant it tongue-in-cheek, okay? Give them the credit. Give them credit. Give them credit. Give them the benefit of the doubt because they usually have decent articles. This is... They calculate the amount of calories burned by pressing the remote on the TV.
What was the number? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember anything. You know, it's I'm ashamed I even remember this much. I know these numbers kept flying around in my head. The Amasata, and where's the truth in the ground? Truth is in the ground. But where should go to Matsuya? You want to succeed in this world? Cheat. That's what it says. That's how it works. You know it, man. You know. Just make sure the cops don't get you. You know it, man. A time is notorious for Abba. How many scams are coming out now? They just caught another one. Hedge fund scams. The hedge fund scams are people making money without really investing it. You know, just keeping the money and giving back 10%. That's hedge funds. Keeping the money and not really investing it, you know, just taking more and more and more money until it flops. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, but there's so many more that they just found another one. A billion. This guy was a Muslim. Thank God it wasn't a Jewish person. He finally found a non-Jewish person. Now, why does Machi as Ma'alam? Strange practices in the world. Oh, this is your world, but you know, strange practices in the world. Well, I told you she wasn't feeling well. She was trying to get her karma to cure her. You know. Her karma isn't curing her. Maybe your karma's at home. There's strange things in the world. Amidas are Tavis and Adonis. Amidas Tavis. You won't find them. Amidas raised and Tavis married. Bad, evil character traits. Kinevza Hashkit Chasser. So if everybody is trying to get what they want and not what's good for them, everyone's in the pursuit of Taiva. And they're willing to, and there's no such thing as Amida Taiva. I have to get what I want. Even if I have to be nasty to do it, even if I have to use trickery, even if I have to cheat, even if I have to steal, even if I have to eliminate, even if I have to step on all the values. So you think that when I got it, I'd at least be happy. Wouldn't you be happy? The guy got it. He got it. Ain't shalom. There's no peace. There's no tranquility. There's no peace. It's a good kasha. There's no tranquility, there's no peace. Are you serving a Zuck and Rabin? And not only is there no tranquility, it's just that there's a tremendous amount of damage and destruction.
What's shot in that?
What's shot in when you get what you want, you're not happy?
There's
a good reason behind that, the Mason. There's a good reason behind it. Because a person is made of a neshama. And a goof. And a goof has limits, how much you could eat. We're just talking about how much you're allowed to eat. I know Shabbos. Goof has limits, how much you could eat. And if somebody has their stomach stapled, they could eat even less. There's a guy here in Yeshiva, his father had surgery to have his stomach stapled because he couldn't control himself. so he had to have a stomach staple.
Wait, they purposely do it?
It's surgery to make the stomach smaller so he can eat. Well, were you talking before? Were you talking before about making a bechira not to have a bechira? So this is a beautiful example of that. He is making a bechira to go through a surgery in order to take away his bechira.
But in a sense, that was bechira. So what did Adam do?
No,
why?
But it's one step before that, you know.
What do you want to do? He chose to.
Yes, Adam went the other direction. Adam chose to have choice. And this person is choosing not to have choice. This is the mirror image of that bechira.
How are you supposed to make the world perfect by choosing to have?
He choice? Can't deal. He can't. Because you're a greater person when you overcome your evil inclination.
And the world can't be perfect if it's in our hands.
If he has a battle between the eight to 12 and the eight to 10, he always chooses right. He's a bigger person. That's a bigger person. Someone that always chooses right because
he chose the first time to choose that.
Right, because right. Or someone that has a battle his whole life. Every single choice he has is a cataclysmic battle, and he never ever makes the wrong choice.
The one time he falls right.
Yes, I'm not saying that he was right. I'm just trying to deal, you know, to give you over the chazal of what he was thinking. You know, I'm not saying he was right. And he was right. You are greater. You are greater. The constant struggle is greater. But God didn't want that. I told you, on one level, he was right.
God wanted to give us less reward than he's going to end up giving us now?
God wanted us to perform his will. And Adam Rishon didn't do that. Adam Rishon wanted to do it in a way that would be a greater person and a greater covet for Hashem. And Hashem didn't want that. So anyway...
Why didn't God spell it out? Why do you have to...
Let's go off. You're going off topic too much. Let's go back to our topic.
Okay, so...
So you have an Hashem. A goof is physical. A goof has limits. There's a certain amount that a guy can eat. Especially if he stays with his stomach. We have to go back to where we started. And then he can't eat anymore. Because a goof is physical. The definition of physical is something that has limits. Physical and limitations are synonymous. They're one and the same. There's no such thing as having something physical without limits. If it has no limits, it's not physical. If it's physical, it has limits. The neshama is the polar extreme. There are no limits. There's nothing that the neshama... There are no limits. It's unlimited potential. There are no limits. If the goof wants something, let's say a goof wants potato chips. So a guy buys one of those huge bags of potato chips. But Israel, you know, they have these little bags that have 3 potato chips in them. You get 10 in a pack, you get 10 packs in a thing. Open it up, there's air, there's like 3 little things. You go to Pathmark. You get these huge bags of generic potato. What do you know you want it? If you want to get barbecue, you get these huge things. And you have a tiger. And believe me, you have a tiber. I know what a tiber for potato chips is. Really, I know what that is. You have a tiber, and you eat, and you eat, and you eat more. It's just, you love it. It's just like, it's ripped from barbecue. And you crunch, it's crunchy, and it's your mouth. It's not like the kind of burns your mouth. It's like a sweet mesquite barbecue. And you're eating more and more, and the bag is going down. And people want some. No, I want this whole thing. I'm like, you eat that whole thing? Yeah. And then there's no more room. And then you feel, oh, I never want to see another mesquite barbecue with a potato chip. Yeah, until an hour later. But you don't want to see it. And you no longer want it. Why don't you want it anymore? Because you've come to your limit. But the neshama wants, it has no limits. So that means that there's a part of us that wants with a limit, and there's a part of us that wants without limit. Everybody has it. The neshama has an unconsuming passion.
You have to feed it with something that's limitless?
Right. Now what happens is, since a person has two parts to him, he's got the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara fools you. You want endless life. You want to live forever. You want to understand everything all the way to the very end. You want to be totally and completely pure. You want a relationship with God forever. You want to be together with your wife, children, family, your parents, and the Chofetz Chaim Levon Hagaon forever. You want to be able to ask Rabbi, what did you mean when you said Yesh Levi Das Levi Yesh? The guy's not going to, he's going to give up hope anyway. Forever, I understand, you want to understand as deep as possible. But it's a horror, he's sneaky. And when he does, he confuses you. He confuses you. Listen, Rabbi Yisrael, he confuses you. And he confuses you that you want potato chips. Alright, when you get full of potato chips, you want money. When you're full of money,
you can't be full of
you want money. Right, that, well, you see, there's certain tigers that are minor, there's certain tigers that are minor battles, and there's certain tigers that are major battles. Then you have people that they don't want potato chips anymore. They beat that down. They realize it doesn't last. They don't want money anymore because there's a limit to what money could buy. So what does Yitzhak get them? Covered. We're covered. The bigger people, it's a big one. Big. We're covered. Covered. Power. So this is it, rabbis. This is it. Rabbis in training. Rabbis in training is that you have a passion for something and you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. You just have this gaping hole inside of you. And you don't know what it is. So you start feeding it with everything you can on the earth. You start putting everything in your mouth, whatever it is, until you find the thing. And you'll go through anything to get it. And you'll step on people. And you'll throw off every meat of taiva. And when you finally get it, that's when you realize that that's not what you wanted. There's no peace, there's no tranquility. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want that world. You see the two worlds? We'll talk more about them in Tisham tomorrow. But the two worlds, it's very frightening. Because our world is, the world we live in, the things that are held up to a very high standard are the opposite of any middle table. The people we idolize, the people we look up to,